It's time now for Bible Talk. Join our hosts, Gary Gibbs and John Bradshaw, speakers for the Amazing Facts Ministry, as they now open the Bible and discuss themes that affect your life today. Stay tuned, because the next 15 minutes will deepen your understanding of God's Word.
Hello, friend, and welcome again to Bible Talk. I'm John Bradshaw. With me is Gary Gibbs. On Bible Talk, we talk about the Bible and what the Bible says to us today. And lately on Bible Talk, Gary, we've been talking about the Ten Commandments. We've found that the Bible says that although a person is saved by grace through faith, it is still God's will that we love Him enough to obey Him. He wants us to keep the Ten Commandments.
John, it is important that we obey God's law. God gave us the law to point us to Christ. It points out that we're sinners, and it points out that we have a need for a Savior. When we come to Jesus and we accept Him as our Savior, then He writes the law on our hearts. We want to obey Him, as Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love Me, keep My commandments."
Now, how can you be sure He's talking about the Ten Commandments there? Maybe He's talking about Matthew 22, young fella came to Him and said, "Which is the great commandment in the law?" He said, "Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself." Maybe that's what He meant.
Well, you know, when Jesus was alive, the Pharisees accused Him of trying to put away the law time and time again. And He said, "Think not that I've come to destroy the law. I've not come to destroy it, but to fulfill it." Now, some people say to fulfill means He kept it so we don't have to. But that's not what it means at all. He fulfilled it by keeping it perfectly so He could break the power of sin. And then you come down to the Apostle Paul in Romans 7:7. He points out that the law is still effective. The law still has a vital role. He says, "I would not have known sin, except the law said, 'Thou shalt not covet.'" So the law is very important. It tells us what sin is, and it points us to our Savior.
And when He said, "Thou shalt not covet," He can only be referring there to one law. "Thou shalt not covet" is found in the Ten Commandments.
That's right. That's the only law that says that. And so what God wants to do is He wants to give us an obedient heart. In Ezekiel 36:26, He gives us a promise. It's a wonderful promise. "A new heart will I put within you." And then He goes on, He says, "I will put My Spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in My judgments and My statutes, and ye shall do them." So God wants to change us from the inside out. Where we have a problem, John, sometimes is, we talked about this in our last program, is when we think that in our own strength we can keep God's law. And then that gets you into legalism. That's where you're trying to earn your salvation. We need to come to Jesus and say, "Lord, I want to obey You, but I can't do it on my own, but You can do it through me."
So the Lord certainly only has one way of salvation, and that is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and His shed blood. But the saved person is going to have an experience with Jesus where she or he wants to serve Jesus and wants to do His will.
I believe that perfectly represents what the Bible is saying. However, there are some Christians who say it's impossible to keep God's law.
Now, I've met them, and they'll say, "You're talking about keeping the Ten Commandments, but do you keep all the Ten Commandments? Do you know anyone that's perfectly obeying God?" And then people will preach it and proclaim it. It cannot be done. So we've talked about God wanting us to do this, and it would be odd to think God would ask you to do something you can't do. But where do we learn in the Bible that you can even obey God? That's a tall order.
It is. And without Him, obviously, there's no way we can do it. And I don't think, John, that we'll ever come to the place where we look at ourselves and we'll say, "I am perfectly keeping God's commandments." The day we do that, we've just broken a commandment. We've set ourselves up as our own God then. But I like this promise in Jude 24, because not only does it say obedience is possible, it's a promise that it can happen in me. In Jude, verse 24, there's only one chapter there. Verse 24, it says, "Now unto Him," talking about Jesus, "that is able," Jesus is able, "to keep you from falling into sin, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." So it says there that Jesus is able to keep us from falling, and then to present us faultless before the throne of God with exceeding joy. That's a great promise.
As a promise that Jesus is able to keep a person from falling into sin. Now let's stop here and talk a little bit about the encouragement that that has got to offer people. There's a person listening today in the church all his life, never been able to get his anger under control. Perhaps he's been told by the preacher, don't worry about that, Bill, because you're never going to be able to get the victory over this sin or that sin or something like that. And besides, you don't need to keep the Ten Commandments after all. But something's telling Bill in his heart, Bill, you ought not be like that. You shouldn't shout at your wife. You shouldn't get mad and the veins poke out of your neck when somebody takes your parking place at the mall. Here's some encouragement for somebody like that to know that Jesus is able to deliver you from out of those sins.
Well, it brings a lot of hope because sin is not only against God, but it turns against us. You know, if a person's constantly enslaved to anger or lust or whatever it might be, they never feel good about themselves. And they're diminishing the quality of their life. And they're also diminishing the quality of life of everybody around them. You know, if I've got an anger problem and I go home and I yell at my wife in turn now yells at the child and the child kicks the dog. So, you know, when I sin, there's a ripple effect through the whole family and throughout society. So, yeah, it brings us a lot of hope that we can overcome sin through the power of Jesus Christ.
I want to take it a step higher. Okay, people are going to say, I can see that. I can see that maybe an angry person can settle down. But what about somebody struggling with an addiction or struggling with pornography or someone who's struggling in homosexuality? In their heart, they love God, but they find themselves in a lifestyle, in a practice that is out of harmony with the Bible. Okay, Gary, somebody can get the victory over anger, but maybe these ones, the homosexuality, the pornography, the addictions, maybe they're so big that God doesn't expect us to overcome those because it's too much for us.
Philippians 4:13, John, the Bible tells us, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. We can do all things. That includes the very hard things that you're talking about there. And it tells us how we can do all those things in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There is no temptation taking you, no temptation, not a single temptation that we've ever faced, but such as is common to man. You know, when I'm tempted to be angry, you've been tempted the same way.
Mm-hmm.
All the temptations that we face, they're common temptations to mankind. That means Jesus knows all about them. But God is faithful, the text continues, who will not suffer, not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, and it doesn't finish the sentence there, but it means above that which you're able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it.
That means that with every temptation that comes, there's a way of escape, and you don't have to fall into that sin.
No, and did you notice there where the emphasis is? The emphasis is not on us. The emphasis is on God. It says, but God is faithful. You see, God's faithful. He is there. And often when we face temptation, we just kind of fight it in our own strength. What we need to do is turn to God and say, God, this temptation is bigger than me, but it's not bigger than you. And you've provided a way of escape here for me to get out of this temptation. Help me find it. Help me experience your power and get the victory over this.
So there's encouragement here that we don't have to be slaves to sin anymore. In fact, it goes all the way back to something we covered on Bible Talk in a previous program, where in, I believe it is Romans chapter 6, it says, he that is dead to sin, is freed from sin. Then you're not under the law, you are under grace.
The only way to fight temptation and sin is to fight it from a perspective of confidence that Jesus has gained the victory. He's provided a way of escape for us. And if we fight it through the confidence that we have in Christ, we can be victorious. I like the text found in Philippians 1, verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, he who converted you, he who renewed your heart by grace, he will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. We can have confidence, John, that this work of grace that's begun in our hearts, that has changed us, is always there, available to us to be obedient to God and victorious.
Now, why does it really matter? I love Jesus. He knows I love him. Why does it really matter if I obey him or otherwise? What does it matter to him if I get drunk occasionally? What does it matter to him if I'm still a good person, I'm still in church every week, I'm helping little old ladies across the road and giving money to look after the stray cats? What does it matter to Jesus if I slip every now and then, or I've got this problem that just kind of bothers me?
Sin is a denial of faith. I recently was preaching at a church. I want to find a delicate way to say this. I was working with a church, and there was a gentleman in that church who was an elder in that church, and he was a leader there. And here we were doing some evangelistic work, trying to win people to Christ. But this elder had a bad reputation in the community, John. He was known for being harsh and critical and legalistic and unaccepting. And everybody knew him as being a hard man. And in fact, I watched him jump over a bunch of young people, yell at them and shout them down. And here he is, the elder in this church. And we met people in that community who said, "I will never join your church because of this man." And when I talked to that man, he hung his head. He said, "You know, yeah, I do have a problem. That's just who I am. And I realize that's just the sin that I have to struggle with." Well, his sin was turning others off from Christ. And so that's why it's matter. That's why it's important for us to obey God. You see, our obedience is a test of our love for God. Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, you'll do what?"
You'll keep my commandments. But you're not saying that somebody who's got a problem in their life, somebody who's battling with a sin, doesn't love Jesus.
They can have the emotional love for Christ, but that love has to go beyond the emotion. It has to transform the life. You know, in James 2:20, it says, "Faith without works is dead." So our faith in Christ, our love for Christ, also has to work in us to transform our lives.
So there's a sincere faith, and I don't doubt the sincerity of many people, but then there's a genuine faith. Is that right?
That is so true. Jesus says in Matthew 7:21-23, he talks about those who build their house on the sand versus those who build their house on the rock. And he says, "The foolish man builds his house on the sand, and when a storm comes along, his house is going to crash because it does not have a solid foundation." He says that person is the type of person who says, "I love God, I follow God," but they don't obey him. And because they don't obey him, it undermines their true love for God.
Jesus offers us the experience of a genuine faith in him. He invites us to take a look to the cross, to see the divine Son of God suspended between the heavens and the earth, shedding his blood for each and every one of us, sinners though we are, here on this earth. And when we see the goodness of God and we look into the Bible and it's revealed to us that indeed we are sinners, something has got to cry out from within us and say, "God, change my heart. Change my heart." And when he does, he'll lead us to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Friend, it's good news. We all can have that experience. I'm John Bradshaw. Join me and Gary Gibbs again next time on Bible Talk. If you'd like more information on what we've been studying today, we have a comprehensive Bible study guide we'd love to share with you that's absolutely free. This study includes many of the texts we've just discussed and expands on the subject, including information you'll want to know. To receive this free informative Bible study guide, simply call, write, or email and ask for BT106. You are responsible. The toll-free number is 866-BIBLE-SAYS. That's 866-242-5372. You can write to us at Bible Talk, P.O. Box 1058, Roseville, California 95678, or email us at BibleTalk@LifeTalk.net. Bible Talk has been produced in association with Amazing Facts in the studios of Life Talk Radio.